And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
One of the largest Bible translators in the world is undergoing an independent review after critics claim language in some of their translations intended for Muslim countries misses the essential Christian idea of Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or Ghost. Critics argue that using words like Messiah instead of Son and Lord instead of Father badly distorts the doctrine in which God is said to be one being in three persons. If you remove Son, you have to remove Father, and if you remove those, the whole thread of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is unravelled, said the Reverend George Housney, the president of Horizons International, a Christian organisation that works extensively with Muslims and himself a translator of the Bible into Arabic. Wycliffe Bible translators argue the translations have never been about avoiding controversy, but choosing words that most accurately reflect the Gospels. Some concepts relating God to family members don't make sense in some cultures, so the language needs to reflect that. People are saying we're trying to do translation work that's not offensive to Muslims, and that's just not true, Wycliffe CEO Bob Crescent said. We are committed to the accurate translation of God's words. That's our highest value. Translating the collection of ancient documents assembled together as the Bible has never been easy. Disputes over biblical language date from the early centuries of Christianity, when the original Hebrew and Greek texts were brought to new countries, to making the Shakespearean language of the King James Version more understandable to modern readers. Last month, Wycliffe agreed to an independent review of its policies by the World Evangelical Alliance, which plans to appoint a panel of experts to determine whether Wycliffe and affiliated groups are improperly replacing the terms Son of God and God the Father. The decision comes after a growing number of critics decried the materials as attempts to avoid controversy that fundamentally altered Christian theology. The dispute moved from internet forums and online petitions to concern from large Christian bodies. The Assemblies of God, one of the largest Pentecostal fellowships with more than 60 million members in affiliated churches worldwide, announced it would review its long-standing relationship with Wycliffe. Wycliffe, an interdenominational group that works with a wide variety of churches and missionaries, says it won't publish any disputed materials until after the WEA panel issues its findings. Crescent said that in some cases, what are known to scholars as the divine familial terms, God the Father and the Son of God, don't make sense in translation in some cultures. Islamic teaching, for example, rejects the notion that God could be involved in a relationship similar to human family, and Crescent argues that people in such cultures might be immediately put off by those terms. Translation is a very laborious process because you have to understand the culture of the community, and you don't understand that overnight, he said. Wycliffe, which is involved in more than 1,500 Bible translation programs in roughly 90 countries, generally prefers a method known as dynamic equivalent translation, Crescent said, in which a literal, word-for-word approach is less important than conveying the essential meaning of a text. If you've got a culture that doesn't have sheep and you want to translate the word sheep, you either explain sheep or you find an equivalent term, Crescent said. The rendering of the Bible into languages other than Latin was one of the major disputes of the Protestant Reformation. John Wycliffe, the 14th century scholar the Orlando organization is named for, was condemned by the Roman Catholic Church for producing an English version of the scripture. Translation is probably the most contentious topic in the history of the Bible, he said. Wycliffe is now waiting for the WEA panel to convene. Crescent said there will be 40 members of the group and expects to be some to be sympathetic to Wycliffe's approach and others to be critical. A census of American religion shows that American Muslims grew in number over the past decade, outnumbering Jews for the first time in most of the Midwest and part of the South, while most mainline churches lost adherents. The number of Muslim adherents rose to 2.6 million in 2010 from 1 million in 2000. Fueled by immigration and conversions, said Dale Jones, a researcher who worked on the study by the Association of Statisticians of American Religious Bodies. Christians are the largest group in every state, but some of the things we found interesting was the growth of the Mormons, who reported the largest numerical gain in 26 states, said Jones, who presented the report to a conference in Chicago. The number of Mormons, whose Utah-based church's formal name is The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, grew by 45% to 6.5 4.1 million in 2010, according to the census, which asked 236 religions to count their own adherents. Family members of adherents were generally included in the numbers. Roughly 55% of Americans attend services with enough regularity to be counted, according to the data. By comparison, most surveys estimate roughly 85% of Americans profess religious faith, although they may not attend services. Some 158 million Americans were classified as unclaimed by any religion in the survey. Among major religions, the census found the number of Catholics, the largest single faith, declined 5% to 58.9 million during the decade. Catholics had the largest numeric decline, including big losses in Maine, where a priest abuse scandal came to light, Jones said. In the New England regions, Catholic funerals are outnumbering baptisms, he added. Among the other largest U.S. faiths, adherence to the Southern Baptist Convention held steady at 19.9 million over the decade. The United Methodist Church lost 4% to 9.9 million adherents. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America lost 18% to 4.2 million, and the Episcopal Church lost 15% of its adherents to 1.95 million. In torrential rain in Essex, thousands of spectators turned to cheer on the bonkers competitors taking part in an annual race through thick, treacherous mud. Almost 300 entrants took part in the Mad Morden Mud Race in Essex. Held at low tide on the River Blackwater, the charity event, which dates back to the 1970s, saw people dressed in a variety of fancy dress struggle their way along the 500-yard course. Due to the swollen river conditions, the route was changed, and as a safety precaution, competitors stayed to just one side of the bank instead of crossing into the water. Competitors came from as far afield as Japan and Australia. Brian Farrington from the race organising committee said, "We're getting more and more interest, and they're not just Essex people. The race is one of those strange British quirks. People like doing something that's completely out of the ordinary. It is like cheese rolling or black pudding throwing." Ewan Vincent, 28, from Colchester, joined up to 10,000 spectators at the spectacle. He said, "They really are bonkers. There's no way you catch me doing this. It looks too much like hard work, and it's cold too." A friend of mine took part last year, and she said it was harder than doing a marathon because the mud sucks you down and makes it so tough to get any momentum. Organisers hope the spectacle will raise more than £60,000 for charity. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.